Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards, a weekly Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 2 characters.
Brandon.
Playing Ikaruk Boomslay, Blood Hunter, Half-Orc.
Homo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tehuman, Human Ranger.
Caleb.
My name's Caleb. I am a Warforged robot named Kaitoa Tata.
Brayden.
I am Beleg Degar, Half-Elf Warlock.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards, the party of four, still wounded and bleeding from their last skirmish, explore the strange castle. They reclaim their gear and weapons from the Lord's Chamber Room, which seemingly also contained the possessions and artifacts of many other adventurers. After ransacking the entire room, including a mysterious wardrobe full of trinkets, they abandon the castle.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Time to roll.
As they make their way stealthily into the night, behind them, the town of Lotmuro burns. And now, only a short distance away, is a small dock on the river. Attached to it is a solitary boat bobbing away in the moonlight. The party decides to commandeer it.
Well, we want to take a boat. Might as well take this one.
Just as they push off and step aboard, a flash of light from inside the cabin alerts them that this vessel may be occupied. Episode 10, The Ring and the Bling.
Give me that wardrobe. Fuck off.
Okay, let's do the wardrobe.
Do that fucking wardrobe.
As I was re-listening to it, yeah, I realized that this wardrobe clearly would have been ransacked. So,
I believe I said we turn the room over.
Yeah, we turn the room over.
Everybody roll a d4 and tell me what you get.
Four. Oh, three. Shit. Yeah, three.
I got a four.
Kaitoa, one.
Beleg, one.
Beleg, roll a d12.
Beleg gets bit by a poisonous...
That's a two.
You got a two.
Yeah.
You found a tiny doll depicting a blonde, blue-eyed child. And it's very strange when you place it down and when you pick it back up, its eyes appear to follow people. And this, to you, was actually something that held some sort of significance, and that's why you have it in your possession right now. You did not show it to anybody else in the party, but it's on your possession now. Kaitoa, roll a d12. Because you guys both got one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this was, so you'd say it's of personal significance?
You picked it up.
Okay.
That's pretty significant. Eight.
You find a piece of stone. And this stone,
it's a piece of stone
that changes color based on the mood of whoever's holding it.
So a mood stone.
Except for you, because you have no mood.
Yeah, I have no mood or feeling. Yeah.
What is it to love?
What is love?
And baby, don't hurt.
Rook, you rolled a three. So you go next, but you are only rolling a
d10. D10? Okay. I got a 10.
10 for 10.
You got a 10.
Yeah.
You find a metal rank insignia from an ancient kingdom or war. And it looks a little like
three arrows
stacked on top of each other, like three chevrons stacked on top of each other. And Steve, you rolled a 4. So yeah, you also roll a d10.
I rolled a 5.
Steve, you find a small charm made out of seashells strung onto a piece of leather.
You are a necklace.
I have a puka necklace. Oh, sure. Man. I'm
instantly, you become a douchebag.
Also,
instantly.
The tips of my hair just suddenly become
frosted.
Yeah. Frosty tips.
You frosted your tips, frosted. Does that have frost damage?
I also pop my collar and put a visor on.
Bra.
And so you guys may want to, you know, inspect those later. But yeah, at the time, the wardrobe really was the last thing you guys had a moment to go through. You'd spent all this time going through lockers. You reclaimed your stuff. So these four items were sort of strewn about. The wardrobe was full of these sorts of trinkets. Far, far too many for you to go through thoroughly. And actually, even the ones that you took, each of you, you've not had the time really to inspect them. But there's certainly a reason you took them. We can definitely assume that. So after you left Lot Morrow burning, there was an amazingly quick decision from the group to find water transport. You approached pretty stealthy, a solitary 16-foot vessel with a single mast and a jib on the front. You guys said, could be occupied, as you sort of muttered to yourself. And just at that moment, Kaitoa did a nice little move where he untied the rope from the jetty, pushed off in one motion.
Yeah.
But it was not silent.
It was clunky.
Yeah, like a robot trying to do stealth.
In that moment, as you're talking in hushed tones, you hear,
"Wow, it's Gurb, the gnome!
Gurb!
It's me, Gurb!
Yeah." And you do see back in a small cabin, there is Gurb, the gnome, and he's smoking a pipe, and he has relit the candle.
Hey, Gurb. Why did you have my dagger?
Well, I did it for a laugh, my boy. I thought you'd like it. You gentlemen seem to like a good laugh.
What's the joke?
So this is the same, his voice. Your voice keeps on changing.
Well, no, so he went from Gurb the gnome, and then when he recognized me in the market, he said in that voice that he's not actually Gurb, he's Mickey.
Yeah. My name's Mickey.
Mickey.
Right. Okay, yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Right before he sent us off to the Firbolg, he changed his tone up.
Yeah.
What's with the candle?
Legitimate clues.
Mickey, what's with the candle?
Let me tell you, living construct, the answer to the first question you asked, which was, what's the joke?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I said why you four seemed to like a good laugh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
What's the joke?
Leaving the town of Lot Morrow to burning and slaughter as you looted the castle, a pretty right joke, if I do say so myself.
What's a joke? What's the joke?
And he takes a long puff of his pipe.
Did you put us in that fort?
The fortress? What do you know about the fortress, young man?
I know that we woke up in it. And I know that our stuff was gone. And I know that you had one of my daggers, so you should know something about it, I assume. You seem to know quite a bit more than we do.
That, my son, is the understatement of the evening.
Mickey, it seems that, like, we all were held captive for a reason. We weren't, like, random. And it seemed like people are pretty astonished that we know the ways of magic, as you can tell. What is that connection?
Indeed. What is the connection? You seem to be putting the pieces together ever so slightly. A half-orc, a half-elf, a young boy, and this construct. I wonder. You seem to be getting pretty close with your deductions, my lad. Why not take the next step?
What's the next step?
As the young man said, you're on the run.
Yeah.
I don't have any.
I'm not running anything.
Yeah. I'm not running from anything. I have my weapons. I'm content.
Right. Like, you
I can make then. My own decision.
Right, you are. So, where are you going, boys?
What was the. Shit.
Oh, we're going to Galagi, aren't we?
No. No, that. Well, Galagi was the original one. We. Match. What do you know about Match? Also, what is Oyaku?
Oyaku? My oh my. You've asked a very interesting question about a very interesting man. Have you seen this man?
So, Oyaku's a man.
Indeed.
Is he, man? Is he the man in the blue armor?
My, my. You have seen some things at your time in the fortress. A man in blue armor.
Mickey, I'm a robot who's like hundreds of years old. I've seen some shit. Time to stop speaking in riddles. Tell us what's going on.
Mickey sounds like Del Preston.
A little bit. Yeah, totally. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Fair enough, my dear suit of armor. Before I answer that, that's a big question, my friend, my metal friend, my young friend had another question about Oyaku. Did you see him?
Well, what is he?
He's the man in blue armor.
So you
what's
didn't
the see connection?
Him? We did see him, yeah.
Did you hear his flute?
We did hear something of that sort. Yep. There was an explosion.
We didn't see it, but we heard the flute.
Well, my friends, I think that you were sprung at the exact moment that you needed to be by a folk legend. He's a man, rarely seen but sometimes heard. What a fortunate piece of timing.
So you're saying Oyaku Frida?
All right, lads, let's put our feet up for a little second here. I would like to formally hear your name and where you're from. I met you at the market 1, 2, and 3, and Beleg. We have already introduced ourselves, but the half-orc. What's your name?
My name is Ikurak.
And your family?
My family name is Poonchley.
Yeah. Beleg, do you remember now the answer?
The man who would be king knows that freedom is a length of rope.
It is coming back to you, Beleg. Construct.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Kaitoatata.
Kaitoatata. And you, young lad?
Oh, I'm Steve. Just Steve.
Righto, then. I'll say this much, my friends. I think you escaped from quite the little trap. Have you ever heard of opportunists coming in to clean up a mess and making it worse than it was before?
Yep.
What did you hear about the Lord of Lotmorrow?
Elchans.
That he was a halfling.
Yeah.
Well, that's the guy without the face, right?
Yeah, currently faceless.
Yeah, Steve.
Well, I'll tell you, the poor sod didn't have much of a face to look at. You tell me you saw a body.
Yeah, it wasn't him.
We were thinking.
We don't know it was him because his face was removed. We don't know. We saw a body, but a faceless body.
Well, I faceless saw man. You four it's, run to the castle, seemed- but how do I know that you indeed made it to the Telchain's chambers?
Because our gear was stashed there. We have the gear.
Steve, show him the ring.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've got the ring. There's also that piece of... We got the ring and the bling, too, don't we?
Yeah. And we watched...
You are a funny lot. I like you. The ring and the bling. As I said before, I knew you guys could take a nice little joke. That's why I surprised you. My name's not really Gurm, it's Mickey. I just like taking the piss out of people.
and he completely changes his appearance. You're not sure whether it's magic or it's physical, but his red hair changes to black, and his brown eyes turn to blue.
Beleg quickly casts disguise self and turns into what Mickey looked like before he just changed, and says, "Cool trick."
It's a nice disguise there, son. Maybe when you have a moment, you can tell me what sort of magic you're using. But I'll tell you this, I could see through it in the market, and I can see through it now.
Can someone do like an investigation or an arcana check?
Sure, an arcana check. Who or what?
Mickey. What type of magic is he using? Is anyone strong in that? Like,
okay, size
I'm
up.
I'm strong in arcana. Mickey.
Yeah.
Steve, what are you in arcana?
Outside of character, party.
I'm not really into that.
I mean,
The only thing I'd be good for is doing
Belly or Rook.
My arcana checks are shit because they're intelligence, and that's my dump stat.
So I've got both.
I check on him personally just to see his intentions, but I don't think he's a bad person.
Rook, what do you got?
Well, for arcana and investigation, I've got it's kind of one of my strengths, so either one I can do. Oh,
kind of one of your strengths. Yes, please do a check here.
So do I want to test for? Well, yeah, okay. What's
I guess Tomo. What
I get a roll?
Is this like arcana or history?
If it has something to do with magic, then it's gonna be arcana.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do history because history is not one of my strong suits, but arcana is. So yeah, I'm gonna roll the test to find out.
I guess
his magic. What's going on?
Okay. So as they're discussing, Rook, use your arcana intuitive powers. Roll that d20 plus your what? 1, 2?
Plus 3. Ooh. Yeah. 22.
There you go.
Boom. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Thank you, Rook.
Huzzah.
You know that what you have just seen is a physical transformation. What you just saw him do.
Is a physical transformation?
As in...
I don't know...
His appearance before as Gurm, the red-haired gnome, and his appearance now as Mickey, with a different hair and different eye color. You weren't being fooled before. That was physical then, and it's physical now.
Okay. I don't know what kind of
beyond
magic
that,
he's
your
using.
Arcana check does reveal this. Mickey is a high level magic user.
Yeah.
So your arcana check, you know, turned over, not maybe quite the specific stone, but from a general sense, Rook, you immediately realize you're in the presence of a strong magic user, caster.
His kung fu is strong.
We don't fuck with this dude. Yeah.
I'm going to say, okay.
He'll tell us what he decides to tell us.
Yeah.
And we will listen.
Yeah. Mickey, I see that you're pretty strong in the ways of magic here. Where did you learn?
The Poison Scepter. Does that ring a ding-a-ling in your coconut?
Poison Scepter. Refresh my memory.
Distrusted by many of those in power. Recently associated with allegations of bribery. But, you know, we are very generous when it comes to those who have information. With your overwhelming cynicism and your burgeoning abilities, you really came in as the third group to mess up the already disastrous mess that was happening in Lotmuro and between the fortress that you somehow miraculously did not fall victim to. I am part of the Poison Scepter. And all of you I know from Match. Yes, the free state of Match, a place where in
you would not think to be drugged and abducted.
So you know who drugged and abducted us.
Beleg, why don't you take out that little pouch that Woodson gave to you?
Woodson was the gnome in the temple?
Hey man, as if you forgot Woodson.
Come on, man. My red frog pouch.
The red frog bump that we all want to do.
Oh, I snorted that. I'm just kidding. Here it is.
It would have been interesting if you had snorted it, my friend.
Oh, wow. When you look at the line work and just the creativity here. Oh, hello. I didn't see you standing there. DM Robulon here. Of course, you know my voice. I'd like to speak to you today about some friends of the show, some very artistic friends, the Backwater Bastards. Yes, join Dungeon Master Dick and the three adventurers, Drunken Nobleman Baron Debauche, Rambunctious Son of a Swinehard Blaznak, and Accountant Gnome Cedric as they make their way haphazardly through the world of Dungeons and Dragons. It's a great podcast, and don't miss their newest segment, Dick's Hot Tips. This is the show for all of you budding DMs and GMs out there. Their experienced DMs are waiting to help you now. You can listen to their shows anywhere you find your podcasts. Buzzsprout, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, you name it. What's more, the Backwater Bastards are professional concept artists. They bequeathed upon the Blackguards a group character portrait of the whole party, Steve, Rook, Beleg, and ancient postmodern Kaitoa. They depicted our beloved Blackguards in ways we would have never conceived. If you are a gaming group, player, DM, GM, what better way to immortalize your adventuring party or individual character by commissioning a piece of professional artwork? I guarantee you will be amazed at their stunningly unique character renderings and interpretations. It's just amazing stuff. For more information, check out Backwater Bastards on Twitter and Facebook. And now, we return to Dungeons and Blackguards.
The red frog bump that we all want to do.
I snorted that. I'm just kidding. Here it is.
It would have been interesting if you had snorted it, my friend.
We should have done it in that hour-long rest.
Does anyone...
Chris falls loose and does
cool.
A...
I was full-on gonna give it to you.
It'd be cool if you did, man.
Has anyone seen this before?
Can I, this is the first time
let's all Steve has seen it.
This is the first time, Steve, that you see Beleg's Holden?
Yeah. Can I use, if it's plant or flora, I can
Is that history?
I'll do a little survival check. It's usually wrapped in with survival.
Yeah.
Although, that's up to you. Does survival
I like survival good? If you had streetwise, even insight would be fine, I think. Yeah, sorry, investigation. But whichever's higher for you, I'd take and I'd totally take survival.
Survival's good. I'll see if it's something that that I've seen out in the
wilderness. Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
Or if there's if it's a ground down or processed version of something that I know of. All right. 18 altogether.
18. You definitely have no direct knowledge of what this is. That, though, in and of itself, is giving you quite a lot of information. You've never seen it. The name doesn't sound too familiar. So, Steve, are you pretty, familiar with drugs of civilization and the forest?
I imagine I would know of uses of flora and fauna from the forest for medicinal purposes.
You know from your experience and living in, in civilization and outside of civilization, one thing that this is not
is a common drug that you know the source of. And therefore, you know that this is something very exotic. And that's what your role has given you.
Sweet.
Well, my friends, I must alert us to the moon in the sky, for at the outset of the evening, indeed, it was dark. But as I made my way to my little boat here, the Sea Pickle, I did see the moon coming up, and lo and behold, I believe our time is up. We should get going.
What do you mean?
Okay. But before we go...
When's the last time you guys saw a town burned to the ground, infested by gnolls, clearly attracting attention, and then stayed within a 20-minute march? Maybe you're not the tacticians I thought you were.
I disagree. I think we don't have anything to fear in this situation. I think we quite easily handled ourselves, and we go at our own pace.
I also don't think we have anything to find here, so I'm down to move.
Yeah, Germ. But still, don't... like Mickey's showing a lot of lip ring. And
but why? We're how far away from the dock?
We don't know where we're going. Yeah, we're cruising on.
Yeah, so when you pushed off the dock, Kaitoa, although the rope has been untied, you've been going very slowly down a sort of inlet that joins into the free-flowing river. At the moment, Mickey seems completely nonchalant, and he's crossed his legs, and he's puffing on his pipe.
Yeah.
The boat seems to be sort of drifting.
Okay, so one thing I want to ask is about the Red Frog being a headsman in, like, a regal position. I think I would have a history on potentially seeing the use of Red Frog if it is not a common occurrence. I think the rich and famous might be someone who knows some Red Frog.
What do you
frog.
Want to roll?
History.
Love it.
13. Minus 1, 12.
From your experience, this is not a drug or a name of a drug steeped in history. This is not something... It seems, as far as you can tell, based on your history check, just like everybody, it's sort of, this is a new thing.
I don't know it.
Hey. I want to go back, Mickey. You said that... In the free state of match, it's not a place where one would be drugged and abducted. How do you know about this?
That's right. Not drugged, not abducted, not the least of which by kobolds. And this Red Frog, well, depends. It all depends how it's administered. You see, if you...
I need a bigger notebook for this campaign.
If you put a little bit on your tongue, these crystals, you may find yourself in a wonderful place. And you may wake up the next morning not knowing where you were or what you were doing. But turn it into a gas, and you may find you have forgotten the last month of your life and everything but your name. Sound familiar?
Yeah. Clearly, you're drugged with Red Frog. Gassed out, but why were we gassed? It seems we all have something in common as far as magic, but, like, why us?
That, my friends, is the exact same question that led me and the Sea Pickle down the coast to this rather forgotten corner of the world.
Okay, so, Mickey, where are you going, and what answers are you looking for?
Me, I go where the wind blows me, my large metal friend.
The poison scepter, Mickey.
The poison scepter, Beleg? What do you want to know?
Are we a part of it?
At one point, I thought you might be. But no. That ship sailed.
How do you and Beleg know each other past?
It's a good question, my friend Rook. See, the City of Match is a bit of a rarity in Baheru right now. The outer realms and countries
have all retreated into their own borders. And in match, very cosmopolitan, don't you know? Not like we go off to the east, not like if you go to certain islands where it's all very homogeneous. No, match is a place where thousands call home, and unfortunately, it seems that groups of six or less people traveling on roads to and from match are starting to be a favorite target for abduction and drugging and memory loss, and who knows what else they were going to do to you at that fortress. I can't say.
So do you guys want to either go to match or do you want to go back to Fortress? Mickey, where are you headed?
As I said, my friend, just like the sea pickle, the wind blows me and I go.
Mickey, you seem to know who's doing this. Who's doing the abductions?
You've already said it.
The Poison Scepter?
The Poison Scepter could be your friend. No,
okay.
The man in the blue armor. We don't know his name, but we know one thing. You were not the first dozen or so prisoners to be taken there. In fact, we feel that we just caught the last end of a much larger, longer running plot.
Mickey, who is the man in the blue armor? Is he part of the scepter?
If I only knew. The only thing we know about him is the moon is his symbol. We've heard...
Are you a member of the Poison Scepter?
My friend, just call me Blue Eyes.
He is.
Mickey Blue Eyes.
He is. You remember when I asked him?
Yeah.
He does it his way.
He does it his way.
I'll tell you what I'll do, lads. While you make your decision, I'll have the old sea pickle here put out to sea.
All right, and the construct like goes to repair himself.
It seems like his feet, now that you notice, have started to manipulate these levers. Just like that, you hear the sail fill up with wind, and you have now started traveling, I guess, approximately west. And the mouth of the ocean is not that far. I mean, it's only about a quarter mile.
So which gulf are we currently going towards? Or do we not know?
I don't think we know.
Yeah, we're in the Gulf of Gila.
Gila.
Bingo.
Gila.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, you're in the Gulf of Gila.
Hey, Steve is interested in the heraldry at the fortress.
Right. You want to ask Mickey?
Yeah, what's the black arrow?
Oh, Steve. Observant to the last. Where did you see the black arrow?
It's the first thing, first bit of heraldry I saw since we left the fortress.
That is puzzling. I wonder. See, the thing about Lot Morrow and that fortress is everybody here are tenants. Recent arrivals. Did you notice anything strange about the inhabitants of Lot Morrow? And he puffs and looks up absentmindedly at the ceiling of the cabin.
Well, that they seem to like to drop their clothes all over the place.
You think they liked it? How do you think you lost your clothes then?
I noticed that they were transient settlements. They weren't. They didn't seem like they were permanent, or had they been? They had been there for a long time.
Very.
What do you know about that?
Very interesting. Well, you know how to wash coin, don't you, lads? You know all about that. You got good coin and mix it with bad coin. And in this case, I think what was going on was...
They took my coin.
Mixing not only possessions and coin, but people. What was that castle like? An ordinary castle, was it? Or a little bit different?
It did seem to have a lot of space for people to sleep.
How many?
More
than 40 lockers.
Right you are there, Beleg. A nice round number. I'll tell you what I think was happening there. They were drugging all kinds of groups of adventurers and small, isolated communities. They'd pick them up, drug them with the Red Frog, and take them there to Lot Morrow for what you and I might call a little bit of the old scrambly-bambly on the brains, don't you know what I mean? People being brainwashed into believing they're a priest, or a town's guard, or a lord.
Oh shit, that makes sense.
It was all a facade, my friends.
Do you know anything about Tilty?
Grandma Tilty?
I liked her.
I only arrived at Lot Morrow 2 days after you guys were shipped up the river to the fortress. And unfortunately, the only thing I really knew was my marketplace shop, where, I'll tell you, if I had a different calling in life, I could have stayed there and made a ton of coin over the next week or so, until you lads reversed the flow and showed back up in the middle of town. What do you think happened after you escaped?
Probably clearing out the lot. Like it was the purge, so to speak.
So I think Mickey, you know, he's been sort of fiddling around with his toggles. And he's actually now, he's popped outside the cabin. And he's sort of walked past you guys as you were all sitting and chatting away. He says, "That's right. One mess cleans up another mess, cleans up another mess. And finally, you essentially have to burn it all down. Or in the case of this case, call the gnolls in. My friends, I don't think there's going to be much left of the inhabitants of Lot Morrow, but at least we can say one thing, they weren't ever really the inhabitants of Lot Morrow." And, you know, now the sea pickle has left the mouth of the stream, and Gurm sits back down and crosses his leg and starts filling up his pipe again.
Even if we're going to match, I would say we should go to Galagi first, because that's the fastest way there anyways.
Gurm, what do you know about Galagi?
Galagi's a city. It's not a lot different than Batu. Right there at the edge. I call it the chicken foot of the peninsula of Bapra. Culturally, not so different. A fucking mess. You will find nothing but raiders from Monjob, from the plains. You'll find a city on its last legs, but simply thriving in the human slave trade. And some very interesting goods that are now making their way again for the very first time, all the way from the East Coast.
How long of a sail is it from here to match?
Well, the Sea Pickle here is a pretty it's a pretty fast little vessel. If I look at my various charts here, holy match!
Yeah. I just was wondering.
We'll be at sea for weeks, hugging the coast. Okay. But you know where I'd like to get off of? What we call here, the Crooked Coast.
Oh, are we more?
To match?
To yeah. Get to Galagi, we'd have to navigate the Crooked Coast. And I'm not sure the sea pickles up to it. And I'm not sure whether you folks right now are seaworthy. Match. Well, we'd be getting to know each other, wouldn't we? That's weeks of hugging the coast. The sea pickle here can't make it out as far as Chintadu. Although I'll tell you, I got some business there, if you know what I mean.
So we could make the sail, or I guess go inland.
Well, we can check insight if he's lying or not, but...
Somebody roll to see about the sea pickle, and somebody roll to figure out how far you can get. You got the mainland, and you got main islands, and then stepping stone islands. Surely, I think like Rook or Steve, I think surely one of you has a high ability.
To check. Oh yeah, yeah. To check on the distance.
I'll roll survival again
to check on Mickey's bullshit.
Yeah, it's time to check Mickey. Everybody pick a roll of your choice, and we're going to assess the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, dog. Thank all you. Right, I'm going to roll insight on Mickey.
Okay, you're rolling insight on Mickey, the character. Steve, what are you rolling?
I'm rolling, I'm going to assume that Steve is well-traveled, knows this continent. I'm going to say that Steve also has a good idea of how long it takes to get somewhere.
So whether you're rolling practical travel knowledge.
Okay. Yeah.
And is that survival?
I would say that falls under survival.
Done. Beleg, insight.
Don't worry about it. Beleg rolled a 6.
Okay, 6.
Steve rolled a 12 on survival. 12?
Okay, Rook?
Well, if you went survival for...
I'll kind of take everybody's rolls, and then we'll see how much of maybe Mickey can be assessed by you as the party.
I'm going to roll for... I'm going to assume that Rook's got a pretty good idea as to the lay of the land and the sea travel. I'm going to roll for investigation to see exactly how close we are to the islands around us. Okay. and what the... you know, besides, I guess, what is it, Galagi, what the next kind of logical place to go is here.
Okay, and, okay, so investigation, and then Kaitoa.
Yep.
The way I see it is things have gotten very tense on the Sea Pickle. Because you guys clearly have sort of been shooting each other glances and thinking... insight into his character, survival about, like, how far can we go really, etc. Rook is talking about where is the next logical place to go other than what Mickey's telling us.
I'm going to have to go with a wisdom check for perception based on my history in a war and knowing, like, a bit of strategy and then also my time spent because I imagine we got our memory back. And so my time spent on an island with an indigenous tribe traveling,
yep.
I think I have a good idea to call one's saying bullshit about distant time.
Love it. Love it. So you're going to roll perception.
Perception. Which okay, is
along those lines. And then so we got a 6 by leg. We got a 12 Steve on survival. Rook?
A 9.
9. And Kaitoa.
17.
20.
17.
Hey. Right. Okay, so combined, Kaitoa, you're going to kind of lead this. So you have definitely gotten the sense that this guy has read some Art of War, and so have you. You sense some Art of War chess game at play, and that's what you sense from Mickey. Steve... you clearly know that a boat like this can make it to any of the major islands that surround Baharu. Most points, are going to be like a 2 or 3 day trip. With the right provisions, you know, even a poorly constructed life raft thrown off a larger ship will theoretically be able to make it. So that's BS, what Mickey's saying in terms of that this boat couldn't make it. And that it would have to hug the coast. This is a very seaworthy, sleek vessel. And then Rook as a 9. Yeah, those places that have been mentioned, you know, the quite large city of Batu and Galagi, you do know the area. You are a well-traveled man. And you also have a really good assessment of what Mickey's saying in terms of what's the... amount of civilization and the amount of gnolls gnawing your face off. And you know that it is true. Other than these major cities, there is not much around here. This whole Gulf of Gila and the surrounding area is kind of a no-go zone. And then Beleg, you know, as you kind of look Mickey up and down, he catches your eye. instead of you kind of getting a clear thought and a clear-headed assessment of him, he kind of draws you into a staring contest. And instead, you sort of get drawn into that. And you don't really learn too much other than what you already know about him. He's a shifty, clever guy.
Okay, so we definitely... Guys, we definitely want to stay sea-bound, and we don't want to dock and try to battle this terrain by walking up to match.
Oh, yeah. I think we should maybe, like, travel as far as we can, get provision, and then make a big long trek. But I think, like, we can't right now. We don't have the food to make a two-week-long trek.
Well, not only that, but it's a no-go zone, right? So yeah. Not only food and barrenness, but also the inhabitants there would be, you know, it'd be a battle to get there. You're saying
we should go sea.
Yeah, we should, yeah.
The sea route, we don't have provisions to make a sea-long trek. So
Mickey, I notice we're on the move. Oh, where are we going? In fact, Steve's taking some time to take a look out of any kind of porthole or... Because we've been talking, and this ship has been moving.
That's right. So you're heading, you're bearing southwest. You are making directly out into open water. You know, contrary to what Mickey has said, he's not hugging the coast. He's heading out sort of as fast as he can away from the coast. And good thing, because you hear a war horn. And it seems to be coming from far, far off across the water. Everybody make a perception check.
Combat!
We gonna fight shit.
I rolled a 6.
I got a
16. The robot Bellic sees nothing.
Yeah, Bellic got a 16.
So we're in perception there. I got a 12 again.
As we know now, must be 11:30. The moon is high, and unfortunately, I mean, your boat, although you're about, say, I guess a mile and a half out, I mean, you made it really, really far from the coast. The sea pickle indeed slides through the water very quietly. It's a small vessel, and Steve, portholes, there's only like two. The cabin is very small. You hear, by the way, not enough, Beleg, to determine, has this come far across the water from land, or are we being pursued on the water? You can't tell, but that is what's running through your mind.
How far from the coast are we? Like
mile and a half.
Wise? Mile and a half?
You've made it about mile and a half.
Can I use my... I'm going to use my dark vision to be able to at least see 30 feet around us to see if I can see any pursuing us.
So it's a moonlit night, and there's relatively little clouds, so you guys can make out... Well, you know, think about if you're on the ferry going across the islands. You could see, theoretically, a mile or two on a moonlit night, and what you would see is, you know, the dark impression of land. And as you scan out, all you see are, you know, roughly foot-tall waves. It's a very quiet night. You can see the land, but you don't see anything. Is it
Mickey,
too far to see
that?
Torches? Probably.
Mickey, who is that?
Who's the gnolls blowing the gnoll on? I'll tell you, I think it might be. It might be gnolls.
Okay.
Are you worried about the gnolls? Or are you...
I don't look worried, but
yeah.
I'll tell you what. Gnolls do not generally act well as seafarers. Oh, no, I'm not worried. Are you?
Who controlled the gnolls in Lop Merle?
A fine question, young man. Who did control the gnolls? And what can you offer a gnoll? Well, you can offer him flesh, or you can offer him weapons. Which do you think Lot Morrow had? Both.
those weapons were there for us to take, and there's like obviously sacrifices happen.
You lot were like kids in the candy shop. Do you realize how many people like you had been cleaned and washed through Lotmorrow? Have you seen the streets there?
We weren't picked on purpose.
I believe you either were some of the very last in this scheme and they were about to close up shop, or you threw a major, major stone into a well-working wagon wheel and broke a spoke.
Yeah. Okay, so I notice we're going southwest, and I'm quite familiar with the island of the south. Can I tell where we're heading?
Yeah, so right now you're still heading in the direction you were before, sort of directly in the same direction that the river was, not really veering to the, you know, to either side of the bay that you're, you know, ostensibly shooting out of. Really, there's the Upper Lens Sea, there's the Central Lens Sea, and there's the Lower Lens Sea. And everything is sort of, you know, in terms of travel, connected by that. You know, to get to the Southern Islands, you just follow the coast until, you know, Central Lens becomes Lower yeah. Lens, and there you are. So all of you guys have your bearings.
Okay.
As a group, are we comfortable going southwest to this island?
Well, we're either going to go southwest to the island, or we're going to go southwest down to
I'll tell you what, the others. I assume we're having this conversation as characters, and a good thing, wouldn't you say? Once you pass those two main islands, the last real piece of anything resembling civilization, if you want to call it that, is Rattap.
What's that, Rattap?
Provisions. Maybe.
What kind of
civilization? Maybe a little bit of blood and murder. This part of the world. Most bloodthirsty merchant pirates this side of the continent they are. In fact, they really belong more out in the Sea of Anonku. I'll tell you, lads, I think we'd be best to hightail it out of here. Once we're past those main islands in the Gulf, lads, we're in the Len. We're Len men. And once okay. You're in the Len Sea, my friends, and I want you all to listen very carefully to this, you can do whatever you want.
Uncharted waters, and we just gotta get out to the Len.
What do we have for provisions?
Provisions, I have enough for four for a day.
For a day?
I've got rations.
I wasn't expecting, frankly, you lot to make it out. I was here to see what I saw. And instead, seems like I got more than I bargained for.
Okay, before we decide where to go, I have one question. Mickey, being a dealer, daggers and weapons, what do you know about Oumuamua?
Sounds like a name from the southern tropical islands, my friend. You must know the Wiki Tiki and the Waka Wuku.
Yes, do you know of islands of that name?
Well, there's Wii U.
I had a Wii U.
Yes.
Is that where you call home, my big metal friend?
Take us in that direction.
I see. Well, we could, and I'll tell you what, we would pass by Chintadu. Know what I mean?
Tell us about that.
Surely the robot would not be able to take advantage of all the pleasures in Chintadu, if you know what I mean. It's a stop, eh? But as I said before, we would have to stop for supplies. We're not going to make it that far, love.
How far of a sail is Chintadu?
Do you know of location of Oumuamua?
Two things, yeah. So, Brandon, if it's one day from where you are to Galagi, you can start figuring out. That's 3 or 4 days, man.
So, we're 1 day to Galagi, so 3 or 4 days. So, Rattap would be about 2 days.
Yeah, totally. Yep, favorable winds, totally.
Yeah, but we got to stop somewhere because
yep.
There's a day yep. worth of... provisions, but Steve's got some.
Can you forage at sea, buddy?
Yes. Like a fish, I'm sure.
Yeah, help. Man. I mean, help. my thought here would be everybody roll some sort of confidence roll.
I can just find food and water for five people.
We could travel for days. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, lads. Are you asking how far we can make it?
Yeah. I think at this point, Steve's already like, he's already like stuck a fishing line through one of the portholes.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going north or south?
If you go directly where you're talking to,
I want to go south.
Essentially a direct line between where you are right now, Lot Murrow and the mouth of that river, to the island that is very small and shaped like a whistle. Do you see that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, so like basically in line to Shintadu?
And then, Chintadu or Shintadu. Yep.
Let's go to Shintadu.
I'm down for that. Bellic's just pretty restless. He's ready to have a decision made.
Okay. Steve caught a fish.
Chintadu it is, boys. Chintadu it is. Oh, say, Bellic.
Hey.
You must remember the other spot we can do a little stop off.
I'm down if you are.
All right. Well, let me tell you, my friends, it'll have to be a quick in and out, as I say, but we can make it to Chintadu. Just one little stop on the way. Not really on most maps, if you know what I mean, but I'm sure you guys will, you'll do just fine. Just follow my lead, all right?
Where are we stopping?
I don't know if calling it a name is going to help. It's not on most maps.
What's the travel length there?
So the island that he's talking about is the one that's, essentially it's a halfway point. So you guys have picked a, you're going somewhere where there's now a halfway point.
The whistle.
The whistle.
Yeah.
It looks like a whistle.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys, should I do an investigation to find out more about it? Or are you guys okay with just going there and blind?
I've already sat and started repairing myself.
Steve has a couple of fish.
Bellic, what do you say?
I'm in.
All right, we'll go in blind, I guess.
Let's go to Bool.
That's right, Bool. Here we go, lads. I have the feeling you're going to like the sea pickle.
All right.
And that, my friends, is where we'll leave you tonight on this episode of Dungeons and Blackguards.
You guys haven't even asked what Gurm is wearing.
Nothing. Is it red lingerie?
It is not red lingerie.
It's a gimp suit.
Only his mouth has been showing this whole time.
Just a zipper mask.
He unzips his mask.
Hey, it's me, Gurm.
He's wearing sort of like a dark cloak, and he's wearing sort of a nice vest with gold buttons, and he's got a big dark hood that he's never put on, and sort of green, large green boots, and the boots almost come up to like his belt. His boots are so high.
Dude, he's a cowboy.
And now you can kill him. Because now you
want to ask him about Glaggy first.
Okay,